All right. Good afternoon and welcome. Thanks everyone for joining us today. And I want to give a big thank you to Carolyn McMullen, who will be speaking with us this hour. So Carolyn is Senior Scientist, Consumer Foods Products Research at the J.M. Smucker Company. And this interview is an element of IRI's Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion community. The DEI provides resources and networking opportunities for IRI members as you promote DE&I in your innovation and R&D practices. This is a brand new community. We just started in February this year. So as we grow, you'll be able to access facilitated roundtable discussions on key topics. This month, we were able to do in person at the IRI annual conference last week, which was super exciting. We'll have content coming through our partner organization through the National Association of Manufacturers. And we also have updates with insights and additional resources and interviews with thought leaders like we're doing today. And these almost always take place on the second Thursday of the month when we don't have an annual conference messing with our schedule. So next month, it will be on the second Thursday of the month at noon. And I'll be sure to sign everybody up for updates. And if you don't want to get updates, just let me know and I'll make sure to take you off. So just a few housekeeping items before we can get to the conversation. So first, this session is being recorded and you will get a link to the recording. We'll be distributing the recording as a podcast, so there will not be any visuals here today. Second, please hold all questions until the end. Once we open the floor to questions, you can type your question into the chat and I'll read it out for you. Or you can raise your hand using that function on the dashboard and you can have a one-on-one conversation with Carolyn. All right, all the boring stuff is done. Thank you for your patience. Carolyn, just tell us about your background and where you sit at J.M. Smucker.
That sounds great. Thanks for having me, Lee. I'm really looking forward to sharing today. Currently, I sit in our research and development division at Smucker in our consumer foods, or like I like to call it, the people foods division. I've been with the company actually almost 14 years. This summer will be my 14-year anniversary. I've held various positions in the company during my time, which span through the legal department, marketing, and also several different positions within R&D. So currently, I like to describe my job as asking kids how much they like peanut butter and jelly. I primarily focus on the Uncrustables business, which we know is a kid's snack, and also involves talking with parents. So I do consumer research on Uncrustables mostly.
Awesome. And those Uncrustables are not just for kids.
They're not just for kids. That's right.
I enjoy one on occasion. They're very
excellent.
So can you give us a broad picture of the evolution and structure of employee resource groups and how they work at J.M. Smucker? And I know you have a different word for them too.
Yes, we have several words, so I can try to tease that apart. So our company started focusing on inclusion, diversity, and equity, which I'll refer to it for short, ID&E. A few years ago, and as part of one of our top five priorities at our company. And part of the work to support ID&E then at Smucker was the idea of forming employee resource groups, or ERGs. And at Smucker, we have our umbrella organization called employee resource groups. So all groups under the umbrella are termed employee resource groups. And then there's two subsets of groups under that umbrella ERG organization. First, we have business resource groups, or BRGs. And those are groups of folks that are marginalized or underrepresented individuals, communities of those folks. And then also under the ERG structure, we have what are called belonging groups. And these are groups centered around employee common interests. So all groups, BRGs and belonging groups, are contributors to our business success, but we break them out further into business resource groups and belonging groups, depending on whether they're groups of marginalized or underrepresented people or not. So currently we have seven BRGs and we have three belonging groups.
Awesome. So obviously the LGBTQ plus group was something that you guys have. So can you tell us how you got it going and what resources you used as you got it started?
Yeah, sure. So it was interesting. Some of our BRG groups, like our Black employee group called Black, Black Leadership and Ally Council, we already had groups of Black employees meeting prior to the establishment of ERGs. But when I asked around, I discovered that there were no groups, grassroots groups of LGBTQ plus employees meeting. So there was kind of no foundation to start from. And so I started thinking about the fact that I knew a few people in the LGBTQ community at Smucker, and I just reached out to them and said, hey, we have the ability to start an employee resource group now. Is this something that you'd be interested in standing up? When I collected a few folks that were interested, we have an internal platform similar to Facebook called Yammer. We put an inquiry out there to ask if there were other people that were interested in standing up what became known as the Pride Alliance. And we had about 15 folks that were interested in starting the group and equal number of people who said that they'd be interested in participating in the group once it was stood up. So that first group of 15 people, we tagged ourselves the charter team, and we went to work on figuring out how to stand up the group. And that process took about, I'd say about 9 months to a year to actually bring everyone together, start understanding what the charter process would look like, write the charter, and then actually stand up the group. So we had some help from our human resources team when it came to what it looked like to create an ERG. They provided some great templates for how to create a charter and how to organize the group. And then we also were lucky enough to have a connection to a group called Plexus. It's a national organization, but there's a Cleveland-based chapter. It's an LGBTQ plus Chamber of Commerce, which services Northeast Ohio. And as part of Plexus membership, we're able to connect with other employee resource groups, leaders from other Northeast Ohio companies. So we got a lot of information by just thought sharing among other ERG leaders that were either on the same pathway as we were in terms of timing, and then a lot of great resources from people who had stood up ERGs and were maybe 1 to 3+ years ahead of where we were at Smucker to help guide us, call out some pitfalls and best practice, share best practices.
Awesome. So is it the same process for other BRGs as well? Do they go through the same steps and have that support from HR?
They did, actually. So our group, the Pride Alliance, and also the Black group were the first two groups to charter. And we really have worked together then to be resources for the other 5 BRGs and the belonging groups too, to charter. So we chartering includes what your goals are, mission and vision, which you can imagine, but also really putting pen to paper when it comes to election and voting processes and other factors that we had to think about. So we were, our group and the Black group were able to come together to kind of be hands-on training for the other groups that followed, which really helped because we could share stories about what was working and what wasn't really working and how we managed through.
Oh, that's great. So what activities do you have for group members then?
Yep. So we have lots of things happening. We have certainly social and team building activities. We have a committee chair actually, and a whole committee of people who plan icebreakers, social activities, and just ways for folks to come together and get to know one another. It's very helpful to have, whether you're a community member or an ally, to just collect with like-minded people so that there's that social and team building. We haven't been able to do as much in person as we'd like, of course, due to the pandemic. But in some ways, that acted in our favor because we are able to get a lot of folks involved from our locations that aren't in Orrville, Ohio. And so we really have a hybrid approach now when it comes to team building so that we can make sure that our remote employees or people at our operations locations can be part of the activities as well. So I think the pandemic gave us a good way to think about how we could have a hybrid approach to include everyone. So in addition to the team building and social activities, we try to do regular educational activities that we might share with one another or also across our whole company. That often involves sharing of personal stories on our journey, whether we're in the community or whether we're allies. There's a number of people who have kids, for example, that are in the LGBTQ community. And it's been so wonderful to be able to connect people who are willing to share those stories. We also just kicked off a mentorship program as part of our career and professional development, which we're getting started. And additionally, we are getting involved in our community. For example, at our local high school, there's an organization called STAND, which is a group of students that are against bullying. And that is an organization that we've been connected with. And so now we have volunteers that are participating with the high school students and some of the teachers at the high school to be able to provide support for kids in our community, which has been great. Among activities that we hope to be involved in the future, people are probably aware of anti-trans bills, for example, that are popping up in different states. And so we're hoping through our legislative and lobbying arm at the company to get more involved in the future at the state level when we think about these bills that are coming up and the way that we can step forward and show up as a company to speak up against these kinds of actions.
So not a lot going on there. It's just real fun.
No.
That's a whole other job.
There's a lot of things happening. And one of the things we're trying to figure out now, we have actually, even though we only officially chartered in February, we already have over 80 members that have joined the group, which is really exciting. And now the task is to figure out how to get our members plugged into the activities. So we're trying to be strategic about thinking about the volunteer opportunities and making it clear this would be 3 hours one time a week, or this would be a one-time commitment of 2 hours, trying to be really specific about what the commitment is, because we know that all of us have other project responsibilities on our plates, and trying to figure out how to fit in these activities is really important. Understanding that this, again, as I mentioned, ID&E is one of our top 5 priorities at the company. So we're trying to be really strategic about making sure that folks can carve out time and get credit for their time that they dedicate to the activities with the ERGs.
Oh, that's excellent. So by credit, it helps with their goals and objectives and meeting that strategic goal then?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. So we don't like to talk about involvement in the ERGs as the extracurricular or not part of your day job, because it really is. It's supporting part of the key objectives for the company. And so how do we work with our managers and our leadership to make sure that time's carved out and that it's not seen as additional work on top of your regular work? So.
Exactly. And does that help as you're bringing allies into the fold too?
Yes. So one of the ways we actually had decided right from the beginning that we would include allies as part of our group. Various groups have decided to start maybe just with community members and bring allies in later. But we brought allies in right away for several reasons. Again, like I mentioned, sometimes our allies have family members or friends that are part of the community. And additionally, allies provide a sense of privacy for our members. Sometimes community members aren't out at all or out at work. And so by having a group of community members and allies together, you don't have to join the group and declare, I'm a lesbian or I'm in the transgender community. You just need to come and be part of the community or allies. So we appreciate the work that the allies are doing and continue to do on behalf of our community members and alongside our community members.
That's awesome. So yeah. Can you tell us a bit about how the BRG has helped with recruitment and retention? I think, you know, we'd particularly like to hear about the Human Rights Campaign Index. We talked about that in our prep call, and I'd love for you to share that with the group, you know, how it works and how it's all integrated in with the BRGs.
Yep. So we are just starting to think about talent attraction and talent retention as a company and how we think about recruiting and retaining diverse talent. One of the tools that the LGBTQ plus community has to work with is the Human Rights Campaign, as you were mentioning. They come out each year with a survey called the Corporate Equality Index, or CEI. And the most points that you can get on the CEI is 100 points. And a score of 100 portrays the confidence that being a company that has a 100 score on the CEI index is a safe place for the LGBTQ community. Of course, there's a score based on a set of criteria, and then there's a lived experience. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to have the Pride Alliance working in conjunction with our corporate communications team for the first time this year as we fill out the CEI survey for 2023, because we're able to make sure then that the criteria that we're meeting as a company can also match the lived experience of the LGBTQ folks that are at Smucker. It's great to attract people with a score of 100, but if they come and they don't feel safe, then there's a mismatch. So we're working really hard to make those two pieces match. What's great about the Human Rights Campaign and their CEI index is that they each year raise the bar. So it's not enough to just provide employment protection for LGBTQ people anymore. In fact, that's regulated by law. So that criteria would go away, and the new, more challenging criteria is set each year. So that the bar continues to be raised for the experience of the LGBTQ community. So Smucker did a great job in 2021. We received a score of 80, but in 2022, we raised the bar to 95. So we're really hopeful this year with a lot of hard work and collaboration that we can achieve the score of 100, and then by having our ERG in place, we can also make sure the lived experience matches the score.
Oh, that's fantastic. So are you able to share like where, how you got from 80 to 95 in just a year? That's awesome.
So that's a great question. I wasn't involved in filling out the survey, but I do know that one of the big factors was just having employee resource groups, for example. So just forming the Pride Alliance got us some points. We also made some substantial increases to our medical benefits coverage, which included additional resources for the LGBTQ community as a whole, and parental planning, which also impacts our community, and also some other resources when as it pertains to transitioning for transgender people. So
that's fantastic. And you think this is going to help with recruitment and retention for you? You say, you know, with the lived experience in the company, so I know you're working with that, but what about the recruitment side? Do you think that's going to
help? I definitely think as a member of the LGBTQ community, if I were looking for a role outside of our company, this is definitely a resource that I would refer to see if a company even participates in the human rights campaign CEI. Some companies don't. So just seeing that there's participation, and then of course a score of 100 is key when you're someone in the community looking for a supportive organization.
Definitely. I imagine it's challenging, in particular being in a rural location, and you know, that's gonna be hard.
I definitely think, you know, there were some things which I'll talk about in a little bit, like flying the Pride flag this month for Pride Month, that made us a little bit nervous. And when I say us, I mean me personally, wondering how that would be received. But I have to say that Smucker has been super supportive. And I have all the confidence that our leadership is very much on board and supportive of our organization and the LGBTQ community, which is a great start, knowing that your employer has your back. That can help mitigate challenges that you might have from your surrounding location, for example. So.
Yeah, following up, you know, with the leadership piece, we know that leadership support is just essential for the success of ERGs and for them to have an impact in the organization too. So, you know, can you talk more about the leadership support that you have for the LGBTQ plus group?
I can. Well, I think it was a great idea that when we started the employee resource groups that, especially for the BRGs, but also the belonging groups have sponsors. So each of the BRGs has an executive level sponsor. We were able to help to in that matching process. So someone wasn't just assigned to us. We were able to have conversations with several different people on our executive leadership team who were interested in being the executive sponsor or champion for the Pride Alliance. We as a committee, the leadership of the Pride Alliance really knew that it would be important to have an executive sponsor who didn't need to be convinced that certain LGBTQ initiatives were worthwhile, that we really were looking for someone who was already an ally. We had several great folks that were interested, and we did pair up with Jeanette Knutson, who is our chief legal and compliance officer and secretary for our company. So Jeanette's been a wonderful partner. And on a personal level, Jeanette was the first person at Smucker who I came out to and was able to garner her support early on to know that she had my back and that if I had any troubles, I definitely could come to her. And so I think it's really neat that we've come full circle and here we are almost 14 years later. And the first person I felt safe with at Smucker is now our champion. So I think that's wonderful. And we really do appreciate Jeanette's support. There's sometimes when you just need a person in the room at the higher level to get things accomplished, and Jeanette's been a great support there, so.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I love that that's a good story, the way it's come full circle.
I know, who knew 14 years later?
Yeah. So how do you feel that BRGs and the Pride Alliance in particular are changing the culture at Smucker's?
Yeah, I think the BRGs and the Pride Alliance specifically, I think we're really working to make sure that people can bring their whole selves to work. It's one thing to say that you want people to do that, but it's another thing in practice to make sure that people feel confident and comfortable to do that. So, as we are working as an organization, when we ask challenging questions, when we speak up to challenge the status quo, and then when we do that in a way that's both respectful, but a bit pushy sometimes. And then we have leadership who accepts and appreciates our challenges and gives thoughtful responses. I think in that way, we demonstrate to our whole organization that it's okay to bring your whole self to work. It's okay to have diverse thoughts, and it's okay to challenge the status quo and speak up when something doesn't feel right, or even when you just have a different idea. I think really organizations benefit extremely in innovative thinking when they allow diverse thoughts to be raised and heard and considered. So I really see the ERGs working that way to demonstrate that it's okay to be who you are, and it's okay to ask hard questions in a respectful way, and it's okay to challenge.
Yeah, that is definitely true. That's fantastic. So what are some wins that you guys have had?
Yeah, it was exciting to make this list, actually. So, and some of them I've mentioned already. Just this year, as I mentioned, we chartered our organization and partnered with our executive sponsor. And I also mentioned we have over 80 members in our first 6 months, which is really exciting. I gave a sneak peek to this. We are flying the Pride flag at our corporate locations, both in the United States and Canada. And we have a couple of select operations locations that are also flying the flag this month, which is really exciting. I already mentioned that we had some expanded medical benefits, but I think the win to call out was the way that those medical benefits, in particular pertaining to parent planning or family planning, came about. It was really an intersectional overlap between folks in our family planning belonging group, and they teamed up with the Pride Alliance, and together we were able to get expanded fertility treatment coverage, for example. So I think it really illustrated the benefit of groups coming together where they intersect to drive for change. And another example that we're working on now is universal restroom facilities at our locations. And we have an opportunity to partner here with our ADAPT group, which is diverse ability group, to make sure that these new restroom facilities that we might build, if they're single stall, for example, they can both be universally designated and also available to help accommodate people with diverse abilities. So we're really looking forward to these initiatives, and we're looking for ways that our groups can team up to work together.
Oh, it's fantastic. I love to hear, especially the intersectionality. That's so good.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, I thought of one more example. We're also going to be working with our young professionals group and our veterans group when it comes to suicide awareness. And that event is going to happen in September. We felt like all three groups had unique but overlapping examples with suicide and suicide prevention. So we're going to team up to bring messaging around that topic soon. So
oh, that's fantastic. I love to hear how everybody's coming together. And
yes,
that's important for the organization as a whole, but of course, for R&D and innovation, we love to hear about that sort of thing too. The more voices we get, the more innovative we are.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to open the floor to questions in a second, but while everyone mulls that over, so can you share what you're doing to celebrate Pride Month? I know you've got the rainbow shirt on.
I do. You can't see it too well, but so I already talked about flying the Pride flag. Just last week, we had an exciting Meet the Pride Alliance event where we set up a table. During the summer, we have often outdoor activities on campus, and we have food trucks come. So we set up a table where we gave away some stickers and some magnets, safe space indicators for people to hang up in their cubes, and just provided an opportunity for people on campus to come up and ask us questions, understand how to get involved. And in thinking about the hybrid model, we also had an online option for Pride trivia that was happening as well. And we did distribute those magnets and stickers ahead of time for people off campus to be able to have access to them. We are teaming up again with Plexus, the Chamber of Commerce organization, to come next week to present out an educational piece on the use of pronouns. And that will be an all employee event that people can log on to. We're also gonna have a panel discussion at the end of the month where three employees have agreed to share their stories on coming out to themselves. So that'll be a moderated conversation. we found those sharing of personal stories to be really impactful. And then finally, not in June, but we always have been a corporate sponsor. I think this is the third or fourth year, third, because 1 year canceled from the pandemic, but Akron Pride Festival. So Akron, Ohio Pride Festival is in August. We're a corporate sponsor. We have a booth. We have lots of product giveaways, and our own CEO, Mark Smucker, comes out and DJs the whole day. It's a very celebratory event where lots of people, it's a very hot ticket when it comes to volunteer slots. It's hard to get. We're hoping to add some kind of social area this year for our Pride Alliance members to kind of hang out and congregate, even if we're not in the booth the whole time. So we're really looking forward to a summer of Pride celebrations. But our goal is to celebrate Pride all year long. So we have other events planned for later after the summer as well.
Oh, that sounds really fun. I especially want to see your CEO DJ. That sounds amazing.
He's awesome. He really is. It's not like some rinky dink get up. Mark is legit. So it's a lot of fun. And I really appreciate the fact that he commits his whole day to being there at the Pride Festival. And even his family comes out. They're very supportive, and it's so much fun and really adds to the festivities when he's there with his music. So
that's so fun to hear. That's awesome. So we've had one question come in so far, and that is, you know, how are the BRGs working with innovation and R&D at J.M. Smucker to help with those processes and products?
So that's a great question. There's nothing formal set up, because I sit in R&D myself, and I see my one colleague on here, Abby Kerber, is a partner in this. We decided to start a grassroots meetup of R&D people at Smucker called ID&E for R&D. We meet each month, and Abby leads us as we come up with new topics to share. Like, for example, we're going to piggyback on one of our on our pronoun topic this month, and we just meet and talk with other R&D folks. So it's has been a great way to get people in R&D specifically talking about the diversity, inclusion, and equity efforts, and it's a little bit more approachable when you're kind of gathered with people that you might know, you might sit with. We all of our R&D functions share the same building, so it's a nice way for us to gather. We don't, as I mentioned, have anything though specific in terms of promoting innovation and R&D thought starters as it pertains to ID&E, but I think that that's an opportunity for the future, because really demonstrating how a collection of diverse people and diverse thinking benefits innovation, I think that is really important for us to call that out as a company to really promote why we're doing these things, among other reasons. So,
fantastic. All right. I don't have any other questions that have come in so far. If anyone wants to jump in, we'll give them another second or so. And you can feel free to unmute. You don't have to type it in.
Hi, Liz Ernst here with Sunoco with Jeff Schutz. And I was just wondering what you were, how you were engaging with the rest of the company when your resource group throws events, and what have you done that has been successful in increasing participation?
Yeah, that's a great question, and definitely a challenging topic that we're thinking of. So we have a page that's visible internally called The Neighborhood, and it has a calendar. It has places for announcements. So usually we work with our corporate communications team. There's kind of I call them big block announcements and then small block announcements. So for big things like Pride Month, we'll get an article that's co-written with the Pride Alliance or the BRG group, plus our corporate communications team. And within that communication, there's links provided and dates and times provided for all the activities we're planning. There's also a master calendar that we can add our events to. Additionally, as I previously mentioned, we also have Yammer, so we use that platform. Mixed reviews on both of those methods. If people go look, it's wonderful. If people don't go look, which often, more often than not, I feel like people don't always look at the resources, and then they don't see the announcements for the events. So sometimes our admins for our different organizations will go out to the neighborhood and pick up details about these special events and use email to distribute. Sometimes we've used a grassroots effort where we take the 80 people in our organization and say, hey, can you distribute this to your group or your leader so that they can send it out to the organization? So it's a mix right now. We do have a newly identified co-chairs for our communications committee within the Pride Alliance, and we will really be leaning on them to help develop the way we communicate events, because lots of people say, gosh, I wish I knew that X was happening. And then it's really, how do we get the word out most effectively? So I think it's a great question. And I always love to hear ideas from other people on how they get it to work, because we definitely have a little bit of a challenge getting the word out.
Yeah, it's a tough one, especially in such a large organization too.
Yes.
And a diverse organization.
Yes.
Any other questions for Carolyn? All right.
Hey, Lee, Carolyn, it's Jeff Schutz with Sunoco. Just curious as to your outreach to the manufacturing location, particularly the hourly population. Are you finding ways to engage with them, people whose schedules may be a little bit more difficult to
work with? Great question. I will say we are very much in the infancy of that conversation. Things like, can we fly the Pride flag at your location really have been a catalyst to get those kind of conversations started, because we are hesitant to just stick a flag up when we haven't been engaging with our operations locations to the degree at which we engaged our corporate employees, because we planned a phased approach where we said we were going to start with corporate and then expand. I mean, Jeff, you mentioned the challenges when it comes to hourly employees and shift work, among other challenges. And that is something we're trying to figure out right now, actually. So we'll be starting to message to our operations location soon about the different ID&E efforts that are going on across the company. And then we'll be working through ways to get people involved. I will say we have a couple operations people on our core team. And actually one of the people is an hourly employee, and she was able to get special permission to take part of her hourly time to contribute. So those kind of approaches will need to be worked out, because it's not obvious. If I'm looking into the future, I would suspect that eventually we would have chapters or people at each operations location that would help lead initiatives more locally. Certainly, that's also a challenge. We have folks spread out across the whole country. And so just thinking about the demographics and the climate in different areas of the country, we've actually started talking as well about which of the BRGs might be the best first representatives to participate at each of the plants, because there might be a greater need for, say, our Latinx Hispanic group in a certain plant operation where maybe we have more Black employees at a different location, and on and on. So We're working through that and trying to figure it out. We definitely are just starting, but we know it's so important. My co-chair in the Pride Alliance came from an operations background, and she's particularly sensitive based on her previous experience being in the LGBTQ community and the conditions at a plant, not when she was at Smucker, but a previous job where she was not treated very well as a plant employee. And it was a really horrible experience for her. So we're really focused on helping to be part of the solution when we think about how we engage and provide safe spaces for our plant employees, because we know based on my colleagues' past experience that it can be really traumatic.
Oh yeah, that's very challenging.
It is. Yeah, so the short answer is we don't have a plan and we're making one, but I'm glad we're starting. But it's complicated for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Any other questions? Okay. Well, Carolyn, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today, answering all our questions. It's been awesome. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. This topic, the ERGs and the Pride Alliance, is something that I feel like I could talk about every day, any day. It's definitely a highlight of the days that I go to work. I'm so proud of the team and all of the support we've garnered and all the progress we've made. And I can't wait to see where we take it in this upcoming year. We have so many great things happening and such a dedicated and caring group of individuals that are contributing. So
awesome. We'll have to check back in with you to see how things go.
Yes.
You got the 100.
Yes, I'm hoping so. That should come later in 2023. So hopefully.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you again so much. This has been really fun. And thanks everyone for joining us this afternoon. And I hope you'll join me next month on July 14th. We're going to talk to Nancy DiTommaso from Rutgers, and she's going to share about those innovation teams and making sure they're diverse and how they're everyone feels safe bringing in new ideas and how to make the most of it. So we'll be bringing that in. So thanks everyone. And we'll see you next month.
Thanks so much, Lee. Take care.
You too.